Morning. Thanks for those good analogies, Tim. I don't have as many or any analogies to share other than I think that man who climbed the mountain twice still beat me, didn't he? Yeah. So, but we both finished. So we both finished the race. So that's what matters. I do want to share a little bit on being led by the Spirit. And so let's start in John chapter 6. I have a number of scriptures I want to share. I'll probably move through them fairly quickly, and I can be honest and say I don't have it all knit together perfectly in my mind exactly how it all comes together, but I think there's some truths here, and I think there's some ways that the Lord was helping me to see it that were encouraging and kind of gave me hope in the midst of what the scripture says is a battle. This first verse I'm going to read is going to kind of call that part out, but I also hope that I can leave you guys with some of the encouragement that here is here as well. So John 6, verse 63. Jesus had just finished sharing with his disciples that those who are going to abide in him are going to be those who eat his flesh and drink his blood. And that is where they will find life. And in that, there's a number of disciples who just couldn't handle that teaching. They were grumbling at it and complaining and just saying it didn't make sense to them, or it just seemed troubling to them that the teacher would say these things. But in response to that, Jesus said in verse 63, he said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, our spirit and our life." And as I read that earlier this week, or I guess it was even last week, but as I read that, I guess what was in my heart, I was like, man, I think I can infer from what he was saying that those who were troubled by what he shared, those who were troubled by his teaching, were perhaps troubled because somehow they were hearing this and not liking the fact that it was conflicting with their flesh. It was something in their flesh was there, and it was challenged by it. Perhaps it was even just their pride in having to acknowledge, I don't even understand what the teacher's saying right now, because I almost think that's what Peter says at the end. He's like, you have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? He didn't say he understood it. He just acknowledged that you have the words of eternal life, and I'm not going anywhere. But somehow, in this, Jesus' response to those who were grumbling was that the words I've given you are spirit and are life, and the flesh is not going to profit anything. And as I was, you might kind of not see exactly yet why I tie this to being led by the Spirit, but the next few verses I'm going to read are going to talk about the fact that the leading of the Spirit and life in the Spirit is in direct conflict with our flesh. Our flesh nature. And in that, there is a promise and there is a challenge. There is a promise that there's going to be a battle. There's a promise that when we're following Jesus Christ and when we're taking, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, there's a promise of life. That if we take heed to this, to those who could hear those words and say, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. To those who could take that and say, help me understand this. Help me apply this. Help me have you on the inside of me, Jesus. Help me be partaking of your life, be partaking of your suffering, and be partaking of all that is included in eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Those who accepted that and embraced that found life. There was life there for them. But those who couldn't do that, those who maybe somehow wanted to spare their flesh or save their flesh through it or didn't accept the fact that the words of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit were going to come in direct conflict with their fleshly desires, they couldn't find life, and they rejected it. And it was something that caused them to grumble and resent what Jesus was saying. So let's turn now to Rome. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 first. This, again, is not going to be directly about being led by the Spirit, but it is going to be about being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 6, it says, I'll start in verse 5, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And again, this is just an encouragement to me that in being led of the Spirit, the new covenant is one where we are going to be led and be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Like, that is the promise. It's no longer a ministry of death engraved in stones, a law that says, do not, thou shalt not, and you can never live up to it. There is now a ministry of the Spirit that is going to bring us life. It's going to bring us life. But we also know that from what I just read in John chapter 6, the flesh is going to profit nothing. The flesh is not going to profit through this. But there is the promise that in the new covenant that we have the opportunity, that the Spirit is going to give us life. As we are led by the Spirit, as we are able to learn from Him and be guided by Him and walk in this walk, run this race, as Tim was talking about, we are going to find life. There is going to be life available to us. And so let's return to Romans chapter 8, and I think it'll start to maybe get a little more clear what I'm saying here. In Romans chapter 8, it says, let's start in verse 6. It says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." So what I was seeing here is that there's, once again, this conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. It says here that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God, and it can't subject itself to the law of God. But if we rather than that have our mind set on the Spirit, those who are according to the Spirit have our mind set on the things of the Spirit. And now let's go to verse 13. "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So what I was taking from all of this, from starting from when Jesus said that the words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life, and the flesh profits nothing, to 2 Corinthians about how we've been called into a new covenant that gives us life, a covenant of the Spirit that gives us life. And then here in Romans 8, we see this conflict where the mind of the flesh is hostile to God and brings death. But rather, there's an opportunity for those who are being led by the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh will find life. And I was just seeing here this promise that we can be led by the Spirit, and we can know that the Spirit, one of the functions of the Spirit in His leading us, is going to lead us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And so there's going to be a conflict there. That's part of the Christian walk. There is going to be a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. But we have the promise that if we have the Spirit, He is going to lead us into life. He is going to lead us into life. And He is going to guide us and help us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And as I was reflecting on this and these promises, you could almost come into a place, and I've seen it, and I've experienced it. I've seen others there, and I've experienced it, where you can almost come into a place of discouragement, where you think that, you know what, this being led by the Spirit is kind of like now a super law. Like there was the old covenant law written on stones, and now that there's the Holy Spirit who is there, who is actually going to be seeing everything and always present, saying, don't do that. Stop doing that. Turn away from this. And like a Spirit that is just constantly correcting us and telling us, don't go this way, don't do that. And rather, I want to, as I was reflecting on this and sort of seeking to find for myself the hope that is here, and reflecting, quite frankly, in my own experience in being led of the Spirit, it was quite different than that. It's quite different than that. One example is Tim shared from the race, what he experienced on the race was missing the corner and going past on a wrong path. And that, to me, is where I was having some encouragement, where the Holy Spirit is there saying, listen, I want to lead you, like, stop. You're going the wrong direction here. Turn around. Go back. You're off course. You're off course. You're starting to make provision for this flesh, and it might feel good for the moment, but ultimately it's going to bring death in your life. And I want to help you. So it's not there as a punisher with a stick saying you're off course and now you're going to get punished and life's going to be miserable until you turn around. It's more like a gentle reminder trying to speak to a soft heart saying, listen, you're off course. You've missed the turn. Go back. Get back on course. And I was also reflecting in my own life just a little bit in some of the areas that I've been asking for help and asking the Lord to lead me and to guide me into a better way of doing things. And again, my experience has not been one of a tyrant who's there waiting to punish and waiting to point out every mistake I'm making and remind me of all the ways I've come up short. Again, as Jesus also promises in John chapter 16, it's as a helper. The Holy Spirit is intended to be a helper to us, to help us to live this life. And for myself, I can say that in this leading of the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh and to show me a better way, to show me the path of life, there's patience and there's mercy and there's kindness in it. I can give a personal example of some of the areas where I, like I said, I've been praying and asking the Lord for guidance. I've been, some of the things is in raising my family and raising my kids. And I see, like, over time, patterns where it's like, man, like, every time I do it that way, every time I try and correct a situation in this way, it doesn't work. Like, I just feel gross at the end of it, and I can tell it's not working with my kids. I kind of like, yeah, I think that's the Spirit trying to show me a better way. Like, Joel, this is not working. You're missing the course here. What you're doing is not actually bringing life. It's actually in the flesh. You're getting frustrated and you're getting angry and you're not, this is the wrong way. So I had to be left at the end of it saying, okay, well, now I feel like I've learned and I'm starting to see this as the wrong way. There's a promise that the Holy Spirit is going to lead me. Show me the right way. Show me the better way. Show me the path of life in the midst of this situation. Show me how to do this better. And that was literally my prayer this morning. I was like, I see the way, I see this pattern. It's every time I try and work it out in my own strength and my own fleshly wisdom, it's not working. Father, show me a better way. Show me the path that can lead to life in this situation. And I share that just to say that that's where we have hope. That's where we can have hope in this, that it's not, like I said, a tyrant there waiting to punish and show us every mistake, but rather it's there to help us and to be patient, but to show us as we have a soft heart and through the experiences of life that there is a better way. And I read the other verses about the conflict because it is, we're not to be ignorant of it. There is going to be a dying of it. We do have a flesh, and that flesh needs to be put to death. We don't want to deny that. It's written in black and white and plain to see that if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is written to Christians. This is our calling. There is a conflict and there is a battle. But it also is not intended to be some sort of miserable existence where the Holy Spirit is there, like I keep saying, as a giant, as a rule keeper to say, stop, do this, do that. It's more, we need to know that there's a hope in it, and the Holy Spirit is actually there as our helper, is actually there to help us. And there is going to be learning, and he is going to guide us along the way, but it's going to be mixed with gentleness and mercy and hope in the midst of it. We should never be without hope that somehow all we're seeing is our shortcomings and all we're seeing is the ways we come up short. The Holy Spirit will always give us hope. If we're listening, and if we're listening and being led, we will always have hope that there's victory and there's life to be found, and that he can help us to overcome in whatever areas we find ourselves. If we find ourselves off course, we can always have hope that the Holy Spirit will help us get back on course. And even if we have to go back down the mountain and back up again, the Holy Spirit will be there saying, I'm going to help you. We're going to do this right. We're going to finish this race. We're going to do it. And that is the role. I'll finish in verse 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the hope we have, that even, like, I think, I don't know if I've articulated it clearly, but I guess what I wanted to convey was, we know there's a battle. The Spirit gives life and the flesh profits nothing. We also know that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. It said it here earlier in Romans chapter 8. Those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So this is critical. We need to be led by the Spirit. But I also don't want to create an impression that somehow it's a crystal clear. Like I just hear the Spirit completely telling me every day, just go here, do that, do this, and it's just some sort of path where we don't have to have a walk by faith, where there's no uncertainty, where there's no searching and crying out saying, I don't know the way, show me. That's part of it too. Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean we walk through this life with just no uncertainty, without any times where perhaps we realize, man, I've taken a wrong path and I need to get back on the right path. That's part of it too. We're not disqualified from being led by the Spirit just because we've made a mistake, just because we're getting back on the right path. And it says right here in verse 26, sometimes we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know how to pray. We're just crying out for help, and the Spirit is there to intercede for us with groanings too deep for words. This is part of being led by the Spirit. We don't even have the words. We can't even necessarily know what we need. We just know we need help. We just know that it's not going well and that I need help. I'm in a battle. I feel the battle with my flesh right now, and I need help. Then the Holy Spirit is there to help us in our weakness, interceding on our behalf and gently trying to continue to lead us, saying, this is the path. Walk in this. This is the path of life. I want you to know the path of life. For each of us, who are born again, who are in the new covenant, that is the promise, that we can serve and walk in the newness of the Spirit and have this life within us. It is going to be in direct conflict with our flesh, and there is going to be a dying there, but there's also tremendous hope and help for each of us, that as we are led by the Spirit, we will find that life. So anyways, I hope that made some sense. It was just, as I read through it, I was encouraged once again to reflect on the fact that the life is going to be found in walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. That is where I'm going to find my life as a child of God. There's going to be a conflict with the flesh, but there is tremendous hope and tremendous encouragement we can have that the Holy Spirit is there interceding for us and there to help us and with gentleness and mercy along this walk.